Canucks Central Monday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Canucks Central is for Ensign Pacific, Vancouver's premier Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep superstore on 2nd Avenue between Cambie and Main, or at ensignpacificchrysler.ca. The Canucks are inches away from clinching the Pacific Division. It could happen as early as tonight, Sat. All they need is the San Jose Sharks to pluck away a win or a point even against the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, but Connor McDavid is coming to the rescue for the Edmonton Oilers. So it might be a bit more challenging tonight.
Just had to have him to beat the Sharks, you know?
have to bring him back against San Jose.
Just didn't know how they were going to deal with William Eklund in the bunch.
He's been playing well recently.
Okay, yeah, I knew you were going to like come back at me with that. Sat sticking up for his guys. All right.
Yeah, I saw some stock in William Eklund.
How's Barabanov been doing? He was my guy around the trade deadline.
Yeah, remember they were trying to be like, we'll give him away. I was like, no, we're good.
So wait, how much is he making? Okay, no, we're good. You can't retain? Okay, yeah, sure, keep him.
You can pay his salary.
The Michael Granlund-led San Jose Sharks. If they happen to get something out of the Edmonton Oilers tonight, Canucks will have clinched the Pacific Division officially, as long as the Oilers do not get a win.
Yeah.
And they would definitely need, it would help for a regulation win. But in any case, that's on the mind of the scoreboard tonight. Canucks beating the Oilers on Saturday and getting that much closer to a division title. Let's get to it. It's the Open here on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
So Saturday night, Canucks beat the Edmonton Oilers 3-1. And I think it's pretty fair to say Casey DeSmith, and argue Casey DeSmith was their best player on the night. Certainly for the first 10 minutes of that game, he was the star of the show while the Canucks found their footing against the McDavid-less Oilers on Saturday. But you look at the score sheet, Elias Lindholm had one assist. If you look at his Corsi, it was not good. If you look at some other metrics, maybe doesn't look all that great, but he was lined up against Leon Draisaitl and kept Leon Draisaitl off the score sheet. For the most part, kept Leon Draisaitl away from dangerous areas at 5-on-5, and he did so in really his first game in between Dakota Joshua and Connor Garland. They set up as a matchup line, and I get it. You know, when you saw the Canucks trade for Elias Lindholm, you didn't expect him to be a third line center. It's shaped up to be that way. And I think the way you saw Lindholm play on Saturday is a pretty good recipe for success when the Canucks get to the postseason next week against Nashville or anybody else.
And I know fans will still right now hear us talk about him and be about to glow about his performance and what it could mean for the team. And they're going to respond and say, well, they need more out of him. They gave what the Canucks gave up. They need more offense out of him. It's not just about the defensive play.
He's got 10 points in 24 games. What are you talking about?
He's got to
be better. You're a couple clowns. He only got 5 goals.
He wasn't worth it. Okay, totally, right? And we know until the playoffs, people may not be convinced. But I do think the way he, as you mentioned, the way he matched up against Draisaitl and kept him away from really quality scoring chances, that's like a really good template. And the fact that it worked out playing with Garland and with Joshua. And now, we did not anticipate it being a problem because Garland and Joshua have been gold with whomever they've played with down the middle for them so far this season. And it was no different with Elias Lindholm. But it's the perfect template, too, for the postseason, because those are the types of players and those are the types of games that you're going to be faced with where you may not have your overall best team game.
Yeah.
You may have had some moments where you had to rely on your goaltender and give DeSmith credit for how he played, especially the first 10 minutes of that first period. But you have the quality to at least keep the team at bay when you get back to, overall better cohesive hockey, and you can close it out because you have some high-level talent. And to me, that's a template of when you're not at your best, you can still win because you have matchup guys that can win for you. And having Lindholm do that, at the very least, that was a night where he wasn't going to let Draisaitl beat them. If they were going to lose to Edmonton, it wasn't going to be because Draisaitl was going to go off. And those are the types of things in the playoffs that are so massive. Now, I think there have been games actually over this run the Canucks have played better and lost than how they played in Edmonton. But in terms of keeping the other team's best player in check, Lindholm did that. If you do that, it gives yourselves a chance to win.
You look at how the Vegas Golden Knights had so much success last year. Jack Eichel, Chandler Stephenson, William Karlsson, and you know a combination of Teddy Bluger, Nick Waugh, whoever was their fourth line center. They won the Stanley Cup, right? And it didn't mean that all those guys were out there getting a ton of points. Even this year, William Karlsson has played the majority of the season as their third line center. And yes, he does have over 30 goals, but part of all of their success and the way they set up as a team and why they're scary in the playoffs is just how good they are down the middle. And the Canucks, Rick Tocchet has mentioned on a few occasions how much he appreciates the way the Vegas Golden Knights play and their setup as a team, whether it's their heft and size on defense or it's how they play as a forward group, how deep they go through and they can roll four lines. That's essentially what he's trying to accomplish with the Canucks. And when you have Lindholm as that center, as that third center in this roster, it helps you be able to accomplish that a little bit more and obviously have more success while doing it, rolling four lines with those guys playing center.
And I think one thing it also does is it provides you more opportunities to have JT Miller and Elias Pettersson getting some softer matchups at times to take advantage of. And we talk about how JT's been tremendous, but he's not a true matchup guy. And if you ask that of him to consistently have to take the other team's top players down, I think it takes away from the other things he can do well. And overall, is it the best, you know, way for you to go forward? Well, you need to have an option better than JT Miller in a matchup role. And they finally have that in Elias Lindholm. And come the postseason, if he starts playing like more of a bull than he already is, which he's shown capable of doing even in the regular season, he might be a really hard player to stop. And you can be really strategic with how you put those guys out. And those things all matter in the postseason. So the luxury it could afford you, especially if your top guys get going and get out on a roll, to have Lindholm be able to go head-to-head against the other team's top lines is a luxury winning teams need to have.
I offense is coming as well for Lindholm. He had the great pass out to Garland for a point-blank chance in the second period. Didn't go through. He's had a couple of good looks at net himself in these last couple of games since returning from injury. That line generated some pretty great A scoring chances before scoring the empty netter. So they had some success. I think the offense is eventually going to come along with what we're seeing out of Elias Lindholm defensively and how this sets the Canucks up for success in the playoffs. Rick Tocchet agrees. He was asked quite a bit about Lindholm today at practice, and here's what he had to say about the play of the Canucks' big acquisition during deadline season.
Well, I think last game, I thought his game was really good. I thought he was one of our better players. It's hard to explain right now in a media scrum, but there's certain decision making. I watch what he does, where some other, I'm not saying our team, but some lower IQ players would dive in or do something different. He does a subtle thing. I'm like, wow, that was a good play. It doesn't might not notice to the public, but I notice those things where it slows down the other team's option to get to, whatever the play is. And I think that's what he did last game for us. I know there's three or four crucial situations where, he didn't dive in because one of our other players dove in and he backed the guy up. I think that's huge, especially in the playoffs, because, goals are critical, right? A bad read can be critical in a game. He won those. Drysdale is one of the best faceoff guys. He went three in a row there. That's hard to do, So you take the draws out of it. Just more of a knowing when to leave the middle of the ice to confront somebody, or whether, hey, I better stay in the middle of the ice and give the guy some time because somebody made a wrong read. I think that's where he's really gifted.
So it's not so much what he's doing to help score goals that Rick Tocchet loves so much. Mm-hmm. It's just what a smart defensive acumen he has on the ice. And, we talked about it quite a bit on the post game on Saturday, how slow Edmonton looked. And, well, at times, part of the reason they're looking slow is because the Canucks are in the right areas, slowing down, reading where they want to make that next pass and not allowing them to make that next pass so they can't gain speed through the neutral zone. It's those kinds of things that Rick Tocchet really appreciates about Elias Lindholm.
very smart player. There's a reason why he was nominated or was runner-up to winning a Selke trophy.
Yeah, to some guy named Patrice Bergeron, I think.
I think he's won...
The guy they might rename the award after.
He's won one or two in the past. Yeah. You know, let's just put it that way. Yes, absolutely. I mean, they may rename it in his name one of these years in the future. But you don't become a runner-up or you're not in the conversation of winning a Selke trophy unless you're truly elite defensively, generally speaking. Now, you know, there have been years where guys have gotten some strange votes or whatever, but generally speaking, if you're nominated or if you're a runner-up for a Selke trophy, you're one of the smartest, best defensive forwards in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
And that's what Lindholm is.
Yes.
He hasn't showcased it enough consistently in terms of the two-way side of it. Like, the defensive side, for the most part, has been there. But when he's even at his best, there's a level we have not yet seen from Lindholm. Last night was a lot closer to a level that or we hope to see in the postseason. But if he can find that form, if he can get close, let's say that he somehow gets to 90% of his two-way ability defensively. Let's forget offense, like defensively as the year he was the runner-up. You know what an ace that is to have in your lineup in the playoffs?
As your third-line center?
It would be insanely beneficial to you. Now, the hope is he can get there and that he can get even better than what he showed against Edmonton. But he's such a swing player for this team.
Yeah.
And that's what we anticipated when they made the trade, but that he would perhaps play with Pettersson and be the offensive guy perhaps, right, and rekindle some offensive magic. But when that became clear that it wasn't going to happen, this is the best scenario for you, that he can regain his two-way form, be your matchup guy, play lots of minutes, and then give your team an advantage over most other teams you're facing up against in the playoffs.
It's maybe the advantage LA thought they were getting when they acquired Pierre-Luc Dubois from Winnipeg. Obviously, it hasn't worked out that way.
Because they could have Deneau and they could have Dubois really crush offensively.
Yeah, and obviously still have Kopitar doing his thing. But no other team has, maybe outside of Vegas, has that kind of center depth where you've got three big-time players down the middle of the ice. Edmonton's got Draisaitl and McDavid, bit of a drop-off after that. You know, Dallas has got two pretty good centers, three pretty good centers. They got a great forward group, but do they have the level that Miller, Pettersson, and Lindholm can get to? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado doesn't have it. Winnipeg, they've got depth, but again, not that high-end depth. So it can be the Canucks' advantage. In theory, it can be the Canucks' advantage. We just haven't seen it a lot. Lindholm got off to a slow start, was playing hurt, had to take time off, and it looks like he's headed in a better direction. It also fits in line with the way the Canucks want to play and the idea of how they play and how it helps them generate, create offense. And JT Miller actually alluded to this today when he was talking to media. And essentially, it's what we've seen all year, but Miller explains it for you so you'd understand a little better. Here it is.
I don't know. I don't think we were necessarily looking for goals. I mean, you play the right way, you get chances, you get teams to crack a lot more earlier in the season. And then when you come down to crunch time after the break, I mean, teams are buttoning it up. You're not getting the freebies anymore. So I don't think we're conscious of any of that. I think it's just when we play the right way and defend like we're supposed to and play in our structure, we get our looks offensively, and it's about bearing down on them.
So there is JT Miller essentially saying we expected our offense to dry up a little bit as the season went on because that's what happens over the course of a hockey season.
Yeah.
But as long as we play our game and we play to our staples, we'll get our chances. And it's more about taking them. And if you look at some of the underlyings from the last couple of months, while the Canucks haven't had similar results to what they had in the first half of the season before the All-Star break, the underlying suggests that they are generating quite a bit. It's just they aren't bearing down on them, as JT Miller would say.
And you know what? We spent a lot of time arguing, debating with very passionate fans who were very concerned about the Canucks and how they were trending post-All-Star break, how Pettersson has been playing or not performing to the level that you would hope to see until this point, Lindholm being injured, Demko not being there, seeing Edmonton, you know, rush up the standings and close the gap between them and the Vancouver Canucks with a top spot in the Pacific Division. And there's lots of angst about the Canucks are going to blow this down the stretch. They're not going to do well in the playoffs. What indicators are we seeing? They're losing the playoff teams consistently. An entire month went by where the Canucks lost to a bunch of contenders.
Yeah.
And there was lots of concern about where this team was going. And one of the things, you know, we pointed to on our show, on the post-game show, was if you actually, you know, really take the emotion out of it and watch a lot of these games, they've been there for the taking.
Yeah.
And the Canucks haven't converged and won. Now, you can criticize them for not finishing, but there's a difference to me between a team that's playing in a rut, that has lost its identity, doesn't understand what it's doing anymore, and are playing really poor hockey. For the most part, the Canucks were making mistakes, sure, but structurally they were positive. And actually, they were generating more quality chances than they had earlier this season. Now, score effects played a big part in that too last year, earlier this year. And I know you've mentioned this a lot, Reach. How many times were the Canucks up 3, 4, 5, nothing?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're kind of cruising from that point on. The Canucks kind of snuffed games out in the third period. So they weren't putting, you know, pedal to the metal to create offense, perhaps as much as they were since the All-Star break, because they were trailing in games more and trying to close back. But I do think they showed that they can generate more than what they showed earlier this season. And if you were willing to be patient and wait it out, they're likely going to play better as the season goes on. And they probably will look better in the playoffs than you thought they would. Now, does that mean they'll win the first round or go on a run? Who knows, right? But if you dug into how they were playing to what you just mentioned, it hasn't been all that bad since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
The results haven't been as good as you want it to be, but their overall process, outside of a less than a handful of, you know, poor performances, and it is less than a handful. It's not like, you know, five. It's like, what, two or three? It's that Vegas game.
Yeah.
You know?
It was that one little stretch where they lost consecutively against some pretty good hockey teams, right? And they were only, it's during the homestand was where it happened, right? Because they beat Buffalo, they beat Calgary, but they couldn't beat any of the bigger time teams that came through, whether it was blowing the game against Colorado, losing to the LA Kings, blowing it late against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, those were the kinds of things that Vancouver did that started to frustrate people, and especially the games against LA that really frustrated some of the fan base. Now, look, those things are going to happen in the playoffs. You're going to play a lot of close games in the playoffs. Canucks came out on the wrong end of those. You can say that maybe they lost a little bit of that stick-to-itiveness that was such a staple of their game early in the season. And they've talked about it for years, to be honest. I remember talking to Tyler Myers after a loss, a regular loss for the Vancouver Canucks, and him just saying, you know, we've got to be able to stick to it sometimes and not push, not force, not try to force things when they aren't there. And they've become that team for much of the season that doesn't do that. And that's why they're on the brink of getting to 50 wins.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things, too, that over the course of a season, to me, it's about, can you have your identity for the most part? And if you do, what are the highs you've shown? And do you still have it in your locker at times down the stretch? I don't need them to be playing their best hockey for 10 straight games down the stretch or last 20 games and dominating, going to the playoffs, being the hottest team in the league. But can you at least flash your top form? And I'm not even sure the Edmonton game the other night was their top form.
Yeah.
I thought the Vegas game was a far better indicator than that.
Yeah.
And I even thought some of the games against the top teams they lost to, they played overall pretty close to their top game at times and just made some mistakes or just didn't go their way a couple of times, which
is going to happen. The Dallas game, they played really well.
Yeah, and that's a game I thought they, you know, now I wouldn't say they deserved to win necessarily because it was a very close game between two top teams.
Yeah. It just felt like a game of two top teams going up against each other.
And the Canucks were impressive. They played a good game. And to me, can you show that? And they've shown that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you shouldn't be overly concerned about their form necessarily. But once the playoffs come around, it's a completely different game anyways, like you talked about.
They are showing their cards, though, and how they want to generate offense, what they expect, how they want to set themselves up for the playoffs. And that's with Elias Lindholm playing as their third line center, quote unquote, but also having a big play as far as their matchups are concerned and helping lengthening the lineup with Dakota Joshua and Connor Garland. Rick Tocchet even mentioned that he really liked them together as a trio, and you can expect that to stick together certainly tomorrow night, and then we'll see likely for the playoffs as well. A couple of quick texts. How much does Lindell have to do in the playoffs to make the trade worth it?
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't necessarily put it on points. I put it on, can he win his matchups, and can the Canucks win around a couple rounds?
Yeah.
You know, for that trade to be worth it, it's not just about winning a round. Like, you would hope to win a round even if you don't make the Lindholm trade, if you're, you know, finishing the season as strong as Vancouver
has. You paid a big price for a rental. Like, you want to see some level of success in the playoffs.
Yeah. If the Canucks get the conference final, I think the trade would have been worth it.
Lauren in Pomo, I believe the Lindholm trade was more about getting rid of a player that was not working in our new style of play. And that was certainly part of it, Lorne. They had to put Kuzmenko in the deal to make the money work as well. And I know there's people out there, you know, Kuzmenko had another big night last night against the Arizona Coyotes. But again, we've mentioned this 1,000 times. Kuzmenko's success has a lot to do with Calgary not being a playoff team and having a lot of these sort of layup matchups lately. All right, quickly on the Canucks Central roundup, a couple of news bits that you need to know. Tocchet confirming that Demko will start the Canucks' penultimate regular season game tomorrow. Would not commit to saying Demko would start the final two games of the season.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on how he feels more than anything else.
Yeah.
I think that's why you don't want to go out and say two. But I would imagine Demko would love to get two games in.
Yeah, just to get a feel, get a rhythm going. Although that might be out the window anyways, depending on how long it takes for the Canucks to play their first game of the playoffs.
And quickly on that, yes, quickly, but right before we get to that, it also kind of depends on if you're resting, say, let's say you rest Pettersson, Miller, Hughes, and Hronek.
Yeah.
Do you want to have Demko out there anyways? Is that a good environment for him to be in necessarily? So I wonder if that plays a part into it as well.
Winnipeg is locked into their first round opponent, so they don't have much to play for either in that final game of the season on the 18th this coming Thursday. Elliot sort of alluded to it on 32 Thoughts. If Canucks play Nashville in the first round, it may not start until next Tuesday, a full 8 days away from today, as Nashville is playing their final regular season game tonight here on Monday the 15th.
Yes, and it looks like the Canucks will play Nashville, but it depends on two things. One, the Canucks actually finishing second.
In the West.
In the West, actually winning the division to finish second, which is, you know, they probably should still do. And that Vegas doesn't catch Nashville.
Yes.
Nashville would have to get a point today to ensure they're finishing in wild card two.
So that is...
Wild card one, sorry.
The scenarios, it's about 75-ish% chance that it's the Canucks in Nashville in round one. The final thing on the Canucks Central roundup, Amazon appears to be following Quinn Hughes for their feature that is going to air in the fall. We don't know what it's going to be named yet, but they're going to be following around a bunch of NHL players during the playoffs.
So right before and during the playoffs?
Yes.
A Canadian captain never would. Well, which other captains are involved in this?
That's going to be the take. We all know it. That's going to be the take.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. But I'm sure there will be some
Quinn
Canadian
Hughes has a slow start to the first round playoffs. Does he really need Amazon following him around right now?
100%. I mean, for whoever, and it's, you know, if they follow like a bunch of different players, so there'll be some Canadian, some American captains or whatever, right? Perhaps even European captains. And a few will lose in the first round. And those ones are going to get it.
Probabilities say. Probabilities say. All right, we're going to get to Don Taylor. Donnie and Dolly, he joins us every Monday. That's coming up next on Canuck Central.